Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, pages 939 through 40 in Pew Bibles. Imagine you're in the upper room with Jesus and the apostles, sitting before Jesus as he says, "Just as the Father has loved me, so I've also loved you. Now live in my love always. If you keep my commands, you'll live in my love always, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy will be in you and that your joy will be full and complete. My command is this: love others just the way I loved you. Greater love has no one than to give his life for his friends. You are my friends when you do what I tell you. I no longer call you servants because servants don't understand what the master's doing. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and do good things and produce fruit, fruit that will last. And as you do this, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is my command: love one another." We live in a region where we experience the seasons. Winter turns to spring, spring to mud, summer, fall, and back to winter. Sometimes all in the same week, or even day. New friends who join us to live in this region here might think that weather forecasts seem to be made up and the seasons don't seem to matter. But they do matter. They're part of the cycle of life and the circle of life. From the church Advent season to the Christmas and holiday season to our current Lenten season. Those other seasons feel easier. Advent, hope, peace, joy, love. Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. But Lent is a time for stretching. The word Lenten is related to the word lengthen because the Lenten season comes when the days are getting longer. It's a time when we can be stretched. Dana has preached during Lent on things we might do in our faith journeys to stretch some. I've never done nor imagined talking like this from up here. So preparing for and anticipating tonight has been a stretch for me. To help you remember Lent being related to lengthen and stretching, I'll confess that at times while preparing and anticipating, the image came to my mind of myself in a medieval dungeon on a rack getting a literal stretch, what they call nowadays a chiropractic adjustment. But I turned from that image to remember the gift the loving Father has given us in the Spirit. While preparing this message, also there were two four-letter words that came to my mind, but they may not be what you're thinking. They were life and love. Life is God's gift to us. God the Father is our creator. In one of my favorite hymns, I sing the mighty power of God. We sing to God, "While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that we can be, thou God art present there." This reminds us God is the source of our life, that our life is his gift to us. And love, of course, is the theme of our Lenten series. God is love, 1 John 4:8. God loves us. God is love. Whoever lives in God's love lives in God, and God lives in them. Again, 1 John. In the story of the woman by the well, which has been in numerous of the messages we've had lately, Jesus identifies himself. He is the gift of God, living water. Imagine you're in Samaria by Jacob's well under the hot noonday sun, talking with Jesus, who says, "If you knew the gift of God and who I am, you'd ask and I would give you living water. Whoever drinks the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." In tonight's scripture reading, Jesus tells us that just as the Father loved him, so he also loves us, and to live in his love always. The great theologian Karl Barth is regarded as one of the most brilliant and complex intellectuals of the 20th century. He wrote massive volumes on the meaning of life and faith. But when asked if he could summarize his whole work in theology in a sentence, he thought, "Yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." God's gift of love is his gift of himself to us in Christ. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a gift to us, not just at Christmas, but today, every day, and even every moment, God comes to us. Lent is a time to reflect, refocus, reevaluate, repent, and return to God. It's a time for refreshing and deepening our relationship with God. The prefix re reminds us that this is not just a one-time thing, but instead is something we do over and over. So it's good that Lent returns every year. I like to think of the word repent with the meaning to stop and think again. The prefix re, meaning again, as in repeat, plus the root word pent, which is related to the root word meaning to think, as in pensive. When I looked up repent in the dictionary, I read, "Repentance goes beyond feeling to express the distinct purpose of turning from sin to righteousness." As we stop and think again about our lives, it's a time, Lent is, to turn toward God. It's like this story. Most of the players on the middle school basketball team hadn't played before, but what they lacked in experience, they made up for in enthusiasm and energy. One young player looked forward to getting his first chance with the ball. He was so excited the first time the ball ended up unexpectedly in his hands, he took off dribbling and running faster than he'd ever ran. But there was just one minor detail. Gradually, over the din of the noise of the crowd, he heard his coach. "Maybe, Mike, you've had a player do this." He heard his coach crying his name, saying, "Turn." He had lost his direction, and he had headed off in the wrong direction. He'd headed off toward the wrong basket with the ball. The basketball court is like our lives, and we are like that young player. In order to head toward the basket, sometimes we need to stop, think, and turn toward the direction we need to go. I'm in need of turning toward Christ daily. Lent is a time for us to put special emphasis on this, to stop, think again, and turn. After turning toward God's love, we need to accept that gift and then turn toward loving others as ourselves. In the 90s, my young sons and I would watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on public TV. And as each episode started, we'd hear Mr. Rogers sing, "It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?" Most of you probably know Fred Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister from Pittsburgh who was an indelible icon of children's entertainment and education, as well as a symbol of compassion, patience, and morality. On the anniversary of his birth, a couple weeks ago, I saw the following quote he wrote, which illustrates for me how we're to take God's love and turn it toward others and love others. "Love," he said, "isn't a state of perfect caring. It's an active noun, like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now." The call to worship we've said each week must have been echoing in my mind when my wife and I were at the Erie Airport last month dropping our son off. I was reminded of the following story. A mother and daughter were at the airport in their last moments together. The daughter's departure had been announced. They stood near security, hugged, and the mother said, "I love you and wish you enough." The daughter replied, "Mom, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish you enough too, Mom." They kissed and the daughter left. The mother walked to the window and you could see she wanted and needed to cry. This was going to be their last earthly goodbye. "I'm old, and my daughter lives so far away. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is the next trip back will be for my funeral," she said. When they were saying goodbye, they said, "I love you and wish you enough." What did that mean? She smiled and explained, "That's a wish my parents would say." She paused, looked up, remembered, smiled more. "When we said, 'I wish you enough,' we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough of all good things to sustain them." Then turning, she shared the following, reciting from memory. "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys in life appear much bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you beyond the final goodbye." God loves us and wishes us enough. In the last couple lines of our call to worship, we said, "God so loves the world, enough to become one of us, enough to suffer along with us, enough to offer new life for us. For God so loves the world, may we so love. So in conclusion, during this season, let us all turn toward God, eternal source of life, healing, joy, love, and peace. And once we turn toward and live in God's love, we can live with faith that nothing can ever separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, absolutely nothing, can separate us from God's love, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.